Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Welcome to the Expressway. We are back again here with you guys, the BT Express, Billy Taylor, and myself, the co-host Charles. Show me the way. We're here to talk some New York sports football as well as what's going on in the world of sports today. It is great to be with you again, BT. A lot of stuff is happening. Everybody was waiting for 1 o'clock hour to hit today, which is a Wednesday when we're broad taping this so that we find out where Aaron Rodgers is possibly going, but there's some hiccups at the Aaron Rodgers deal for the Jets. But I need to talk about the Darren Waller saga, the stuff that's going on, why he got out of Las Vegas. If you listen to the reports, it could be because they got wind of the marriage that wasn't supposed to be happening, that was supposed to be secretive, and the head coach said Josh. Something that he shouldn't have said.
Yeah,
Josh McDaniels. So what do you say? I mean, I'm happy. I mean, he's a great tight end. If he can stay healthy, we got to steal.
Well, I definitely think the Giants got to steal. There's not even a maybe. I've been watching him for the entire time he's been in the NFL. He's about 6'5" and a half. Weighs about 260, can run like a deer, like a wide receiver, and he can take the whole middle of the field. The only problem was, CW, check it out. Okay, I always, you know, and ever since I used to broadcast games back in college, I always check to see where the quarterback is supposed to throw the ball. And I named this thing after this receiver who played with the Jets a long time ago. His name was Al Toon, and the quarterback used to throw the ball in the middle of the field toward the safety. And I called it a hospital ball because every time they threw that ball toward the safety would get a beat on the wide receiver. And Al Toon had 8 concussions. And he will admit to this because I was in Mexico on vacation. I saw him there and we got to talking about it. And that's exactly what he says, was he hates when the quarterback throws the ball down the middle, but the ball goes toward the safety. Now he's lucky because now you can't kill people when they come across the middle. So that's my thing, is that he can open up the middle. Now the Giants got to make sure their wideouts and their slots are able to run their man-to-man coverages or whatever they got to do. But I'm telling you, CW, this is one of the best trades the Giants have had. I can't think of how long it's been since this good of a trade, a guy that's going to help your team instantly.
Exactly. And having Mike Kafka as the offensive coordinator, his experience in Philly, not only Philly, but also in Kansas City with Andy Reid, and having Jason Kelce and doing the things that Jason Kelce is doing for that offense only lends credence to the fact that Waller is in store for a big year, at least comparable to what Jason Kelce is doing in Kansas City. And hopefully Mike Kafka and Brian Daboll put him in great position, put Daniel Jones in a great position to have the same type of success that Patrick Mahomes is having in Kansas City. So I'm very excited. The other big news on the Giants front is they also solidified, as we said, and we've been mentioned for weeks now, the linebacker core with Bobby Okereke from Indianapolis, who was a third round pick and was a standout on their defense. I'm hoping that he can come here and kind of solidify that linebacker core, add the moxie and the veteran leadership that they need in that linebacker room. So I'm excited on all fronts. And it was 2 weeks ago. I didn't know if I would be able to get this side excited.
Well, this is the thing for me, Charles. Okay, last year, I was blown away by the new general manager and the new coach ability to create plays around who they have. And so they didn't know what they were having when they came to Giants Stadium the first time. This is their first year. They know what they have. They know what they need, and they're going to do it. And that's what I like, because you're not flipping a coin. You're going out and get players that you know you need. We needed a definitely tight end for the other side, and we definitely have to get a wide receiver. We need a linebacker. And they're going out and doing that. And that's exactly what you want the general manager, the coaching staff, and the scouts to do. And for the Giants' new regime, this looks like an outstanding future, because if I was Danny Jones, I would at least send him a limousine or do something to let Darren Waller know that we appreciate, because he had 2 1,000-yard seasons already, and he has yet to turn 28. So, like I said, I'm excited.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Absolutely. And you know what? You know the team that may benefit from this trade is the New York Liberty. because Darren Waller's wife is a good WNBA player too. And she may want to leave Las Vegas and be closer to her hubby in New York. Why not? So we might get a two for two deal, right?
I think that'd be a good deal, because if you think about it, people in the NBA and the WNBA, when they want to get out of a contract and go somewhere else, they simply do that. And I've seen more of that in the last couple of years than I've seen in years to come. So I think it's a great addition to New York. And I've watched him. I've admired him. And I think he's amongst the top three tight ends in the NFL.
Do you think that the Giants will do anything else during this free agency period? Do you think that they still have some offensive line gaps? Obviously, the depth at the offensive position is a little weak right now, and so I think they could be some minimal, salary players that are good that they can sign as potential backups to their current offensive line, and they can also look to boost that up in the draft coming up here.
Yeah, and I think that these guys have shown me, and I might have been maybe a little disappointed probably in the last 6 years because of the coaching staff not getting players that probably fit what they're doing. And now we got a general manager and a coaching staff that's going to bring about a change to help Danny Jones out. He's going to help Saquon Barkley out. He's going to help the defense out. And if they can get on the same page at the same time, they can get the people that they want. So that's what I'm excited about, because I think, the next few moves are valuable. Look at now, we're just in March, haven't come up with the draft, haven't signed really, too many free agents except for the Darren Waller and the tight end. I mean, and the linebacker. I just think that before and between now and June, because you can tamper and do things now, but between now and June, the Giants are gonna hit on all cylinders. And I for them, it looks like Philadelphia, Charles, has gone down a little bit, because they got lost a couple of their defensive players who were mainstay in them getting to the Super Bowl. And I don't know if they can get back without someone else stepping up. And that gives the Giants a chance to solidify things on both sides of the ball and get in this. They re-signed their kicker, and I liked him. I really did. I thought he was one of the better kickers in the NFL. And Matt Breida, the old running back, he re-signed. And he's probably making more than we ever made, but the Giants resigned him as a backup to Saquon Barkley. So they're on the right page. And if you're a Giant fan, whether you are or not, you got to realize the Giants are doing what they're supposed to do.
Absolutely. I'm and when I was with the team, we kind of wait for this period, because a lot of veterans are getting released because a lot of teams don't want to pay them at this point in time. Yep. Obviously Feliciano isn't with the team anymore. who was a mainstay at the line position. One of the guys I think we should all watch out for is the center from the Titans, who was just released by the Tennessee, Ben Jones. Solidified their, I mean, their running game is outstanding. Having King Henry run that rock and almost get 1,000 yards every year. He's healthy.
2,000 one year.
Yeah, you know, and so I think if we can come up with a lineman, especially if they're looking to fill a position, he may not require that much money. That just put a veteran presence, solidifies that offensive line, because you still got those two young tackles playing on that offensive line, and the guard and the guard is young as well. The left guard is young as well, and so you got young guys, and so you need especially a guy that's done it for as long as he's done it, and somebody with that veteran presence that can kind of control and captain that offensive line, captain the offensive meeting room. I think if they could bring in somebody like that, it would be an amazing opportunity, amazing get for them.
We call this the Expressway. Billy Taylor and Charles Way. We're here on every single week talking the world of sports. We do it in four quarters. First quarter, we're talking about the New York Giants and a little bit about the Jets and all the things they've had. They call this NFLAlumniMedia.com, and we call it the Expressway. And as we move along, Charles, you still didn't give me your opinion on Aaron Rodgers, because I think he is a more of a wide receiver type diva than I ever thought. Because, you know, I mean, the Jets probably offered him the world to come here. I think they offered him a list of players that he maybe would approve coming here, and they've got most of them. So is he going to bring the Jets into Super Bowl contention?
It's crazy, because you got one hand, somebody's coming out in the media saying Aaron Rodgers holding the Jets and the Packers hostage, not delaying his decision to retire. Then the other hand, you're hearing, he's just waiting for the right players to come, the Jets to acquire the right players so that he can feel comfortable. I'm like, what is going on? Is this the same Aaron Rodgers that I knew and loved 10 years ago, you know, who was just all about business, didn't like a camera, right? Didn't want to talk to the media. Didn't want anything to do with the media, right? Kind of like ostracized the media. And now all of a sudden, he's just the media darling. He just wants to be in front of the camera. I don't think there isn't a podcast he doesn't like, because he's on every podcast. And that's where he disseminates all the news that's coming out. And that's why I was like, 1 o'clock is going to pass. Everybody was thinking today at 1 o'clock, because his podcast was on today, he was going to announce that, hey, I was just traded to the Jets, and all the Jets fans were getting excited. If you listen to talk radio in New York, all you heard was Aaron Rodgers is this. They're going to get all the wide receivers. I'm like, the Jets probably have the most dynamic skill position players in the NFL, young skill position players in the NFL. Why am I going to mess up the chemistry that was already built in that wide receivers room by bringing in a Reggie Cobb, right? Or even a Davante Adams, which that's not going to happen, but possibly trying to get Davante Adams. Why am I going to do that when these two players, A, they cost a lot less than Davante Adams and Reggie Cobb, and plus they probably could be potentially better than both of those two receivers. So I don't see how you can kind of dismantle your whole, what you've done, which has been good up to this point. All you needed was a quarterback to kind of man the ship. But the ship is good. We just need a rudder to steer us in the right direction. You don't come up and trying to change everything because you want to be comfortable. You're only playing two more years, and you can't guarantee me a Super Bowl. So I'm sorry I'm on my soapbox, but I think this Aaron Rodgers thing is getting out of control.
Well, everything is coming to the light. And what I mean by that is that he's not going to do anything crazy. Like, I know in Green Bay, at least 2 years, they got off to a tough start, and he told the media to relax. Do that in New York and then see what happens. Y'all lose a couple games, they're going to have everything on you. I mean, it's going to be too much pressure. He's going to have to succumb to the pressure somehow, some way. But the thing about it is, just like Danny Jones had a chance to kind of make his his light in New York. Danny Jones did it. Can Aaron Rodgers do that with a cast that's as good as anybody? And if he does that, he could do commercials forever in New York, because the Jets haven't been in the Super Bowl since 1969. This is one of the best teams they've had. People say they need a quarterback. They need someone to lead them. But there's going to come a time where he's going to have to win it in a game, because he's going against Josh Allen of Buffalo. He's going against Phil Mahomes of Kansas City. He's going against Herbert of the Chargers. If he stands out as the quarterback and wins anything close to the MVP, Jets are going to the Super Bowl.
And you're listening to The Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Way. We got more about the Aaron Rodgers saga, or the soap opera, whichever way you want to call it, right back in here, right after a word from our sponsors. Talk to you in a little bit. And we're back with the Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. We had just finished up our first quarter where we just delved into the new signings of the Giants, two premier players, the Darren Waller, who they got in a trade for a third round pick, and Bobby Okereke from the Indianapolis Colts at linebacker, which are two great moves. Now we're over to the Jets. We're trying to figure out what they are doing. It seems like Aaron Rodgers is holding up everything, because they have not been active in the free agency market as they should be. They still have a lot of holes. They have lost a few players that...
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Were vital to their team last year. And so it's this saga, this soap opera that's been going on, this Aaron Rodgers soap opera that's going on, it's I think it's hurting them, because all these other teams are moving and making moves and acquiring these good players, and the Jets are just standing there waiting because they don't know if they're going to have to give up $50 million or not. So they can't do anything until this situation is worked out.
Well, CW, the thing about it, though, is that we have seen recently teams turn around in 1 year. People say, well, you take 2-3 years. No, you can do it in 1 year. You look at the Cincinnati Bengals the year before. They went to the Super Bowl. They did it in 1 year, young quarterback. I think if you had a good team, you can do it. This is a situation where the Jets don't see – They might feel bad sometimes, and I know they do, and I'm a Jets fan. I want them to do well because, you know, I live in the metropolitan area. But they get embarrassed, I think, many times by the Giants, because the Giants have had success over the years, and they haven't had any. And just like you, Charles, I do a lot of banquets with the Jet players, and I do feel sorry for them sometimes. I do. So I want them to win. This is a chance that they're taking. I mean, you think about it. This is a big chance. If Aaron Rodgers can do what he normally does and don't make mistakes, don't turn the ball over, and allow that defense to come in well-rested, they should be able to. Because look at New England is not as good as they used to be. Miami, I don't know, because of Tua. Josh Allen went down a little bit because this coach left him. So the door is open. If you got a little crack, can you do it with a veteran quarterback who was four times MVP? CW.
You know, like you said, New York is a different beast than Green Bay. Green Bay, you're not playing the cows or trying to hang out at a barn for a rodeo show or something like that. And I mean, you got the bright lights of the big city, and you're the focus point of New York sports, right? Green Bay, and they don't care. They just hang out. It's like a Sunday picnic where I'm hanging out at the football game. In New York, football is everything. And if you're not performing, especially after you won all of these things, and you probably going to get all of these things, boy, you better come correct. But I got breaking news. I got to pause, but I got breaking news. Man, They just disrespect running backs week in, week out, year after year after year. I just got word that one of our least favorite teams just released one of their best running backs.
The Cowboys?
Yes.
Ezekiel?
Yep, they just released Zeke Elliott. I told you, it don't matter. You running back position, you can find a dime a dozen. It does not matter. And that's why, have you seen anybody offer Saquon Barkley a contract yet?
Nope.
Oh, so that's what I'm saying. You're not getting paid.
But isn't that collusion if they don't talk about it? Because think about it. He has to be one of the top three running backs in the NFL.
If everybody, I told you, everybody thinks about the running back position the same way. If I can find a college rookie to do the same thing, because they don't think we do anything. So it's crazy right now.
Well, it makes me mad because I know on one particular play, the quarterback is getting ready to throw the ball. The running back has got to check the safety or maybe help out on one of the offensive linemen before he goes out for a pass. He goes out for a pass. He's one-on-one with the linebacker or the safety. He's got to do a good enough move on him to have separation so the quarterback can throw the ball, let alone run the ball and read the defense. He's got to do all that. There's no other position that does that. And I think because it's the NFL upper echelon, they want to downplay what a running back does. A running back is multidimensional. He's got to do so many different things other than one position. Offensive line, that's all they do is either block, pass block, or run block. The receivers, they don't do anything except block or try to get open and then tell everybody they're open, even when they're not. And like I said, I just think a running back is definitely cheated in the NFL. And Saquon Barkley is going to make $10 million against Danny Jones making $40 million. And Saquon was more of a part of the offense than anybody else except Danny Jones.
But if I'm Saquon's agent, you know, even though I don't think the Giants is the type of organization that would do this, but if Saquon was in San Diego, I know they would definitely do this. Oh, you're not getting 11 to 12 million that I was offering you. You're not getting that much money. Okay, I'm gonna give you nine. You know, but I don't think the Giants would do that. But I think they're going to say, look, the running back market is dry, it's weak, it's slow. And I think they're waiting for the Pollard kid to see what he's going to sign, because that's probably the next best running back out there. Because Dallas is going to have to sign him back, even though he's coming off of an ankle injury. And so I think right now the running back position is in limbo, because who is going to set the market for what a running back is worth? Is it going to be Saquon? Is it going to be Pollard?
I heard that there were a lot of great running backs, and maybe that's what they say coming out of college. But I just think that in order for you to get to where you need to be, you need someone to be able to get out on the passes, because if they take away your wide receivers and your tight end, all you have left is your running backs to dump the ball off. I remember when Mahomes the year before when he was starting to throw the ball downfield, there was no place to go because they doubled his wide outs and all he had to do was throw underneath, and it made a quarterback look for the running back. And so I get so upset because I don't think I really think deep down they realize how valuable a running back is, but because they want to downplay it for the money issue to keep the running back on a low echelon of money, I think they downplay and they realize the running back is how valuable it is to a team.
Because unless I miss it, have any of the top four or five running backs been signed yet? Like Josh Jacobs from the Raiders. You got Miles Sanders from Philly. You got Tony Pollard from the Cowboys. And I guess because now that the Cowboys released Zeke Elliott, I'm guessing Tony Pollard is set up to set the market for the running backs, because they're going to have to sign, I'm hoping. I think that's why they released Zeke Elliott. They're going to have to sign Tony Pollard, so he may set the market for the rest of the running backs.
Well, they signed it to the same kind of deal that they gave Saquon, a franchise player, something like that. Not the franchise, but the one below that. Right. So he's making the same amount as Saquon. Okay. And I heard that They had offered Saquon Beckett back in November or something, $11 or $12 million, and he turned it down for multiple years. And I think that, you know, he may have over-anticipated or whatever, but, you know, I think he deserves every penny he gets. And I hope that the Giants, you know, because, you know, they say the average running back lasts about 4 years. You know, Saquon's in his fifth year or sixth year. Which one coming up?
It's his fifth year.
His fifth year. And so he doesn't have much time left. And they need to set him up nicely. They need to get offensive line in order so he doesn't have to take the beating. And they'll give it to him 35 times a game like they did one time and wore him out that one time. So be aware of him as a team, and I think, you know, you'll be all right. But I just get mad. And the thing about it, I think it's terrible the way the Cowboys did Zeke. They're running back. I think that's terrible. Think about it. He's helped them to, you know, be the best that they can be the last 4 or 5 years. He's one of the top two running backs paid in the NFL, and they cut him. I mean, that's Jerry Jones. No wonder Jerry Jones hadn't made it to the Super Bowl in 25 years. I mean, because he doesn't know what he's doing. Think about it.
You're not kidding. You're listening to The Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Teller and Charles Show Me the Way. We're bringing to you breaking news that the Cowboys just released Zeke Elliott, and that's what we're talking about, and seeing how all of the NFL teams are just disrespecting the running back position. Not one of the top five running back free agents have been signed yet. And so that's just another disrespect right there. I don't see any of those top five even signing anytime soon. So that's something that I think that the NFL needs to address. Or, you know, I see, because we're paying these quarterbacks so much money, I think the emphasis now on it's a quarterback league. And if the quarterback isn't good enough and he can't win, the running back won't. You don't see the teams running the ball 30 to 40 times a game. Look at Tennessee. They've done it, but they have yet to get to out of the AFC championship game. So I'm thinking teams is saying, hey, I need more than a good running back. I need to surround myself with a decent offensive line, a great quarterback, and a solid defense, and I'll fill in the rest of the positions. And so that's where we are.
But it has shown me, Charles Way, that some of these people don't know what they're doing, because they're putting all the emphasis and sometimes on the quarterback. And I look at Tennessee. I look at the great running back they have, and then their quarterback is Tannenbaum. And he got to the playoffs last year and threw three interceptions. And that's why they lost the game.
Tannehill.
Yeah, and I just think it's pathetic that, you know, if he hadn't thrown the three interceptions, they would have beat Cincinnati and probably went on to the Super Bowl. So the quarterback is getting too much play, and then when things go well, they get all the publicity. So I don't know what to do, because I don't think it could last like this, because the way it's going, you may have a $100 million quarterback, you know, in years to come.
And a $5 million running back. But you know what? I honestly think like Marshall Faulk, the guys like Priest Holmes, Michael Westbrook, all those guys, they came decades too early. Because I think Marshall Faulk would be killing this league right about now, because of the way they run their offenses now, he would be loving this new NFL. Like, with the spread offenses, that's what he was made of. He was great out the backfield. He could take handoffs in the backfield. I mean, he could do. I think Marshall Faulk would be an amazing. I would feel bad for the guys like Herschel Walker, O.J. Anderson, John Riggins.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, where would they be in this new style of offense where you don't have a fullback, you just out there and you gotta run. They want you to run routes out of the backfield. That's not a Riggins. Riggins didn't run routes out of the backfield now, right? He ran people over. And so I mean, when you look at today's game, how many of those older great running backs would be able to translate into this, you know, today's game?
Well, it would depend on the coach too, because, you know, if the coach wanted to devise a game plan around certain running backs, he would do that. But they passed the ball, I mean, probably probably 30% more than they ever did. I mean, you got guys, like I was looking at Joe Namath, he passed for 4,000 yards one time. And you talk about, you know, now quarterbacks are doing it on a regular basis, getting 5,000 yards passing. So you got to look, and as any young running back coming up, you got to let him know he's got to be able to catch the ball. You got to be able to run routes. You got to be able to be quick. You got to be able to be versatile. Because why would they bring you in there just to get 1 yard unless you were versatile? So we got to figure out some way, Charles, we get going, that we can make sure that the running back gets the respect they deserve.
Hold on to their hats, because when we come back, we're going to figure out how to solve the free agency running back issue. But hold on to your hat. We got much more to come on our show. This is the Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor, and Charles Show Me the Way. We will be right back.
And we're back. Billy Taylor, Charles Way. We call it the Expressway, coming to you every single week, talking in the world of sports. We try to keep it up with all the giant changes, and they got a lot of things happening. They got Darren Walker, who's a tight end, great tight end from the Raiders. Is going to be I guarantee you, if he stays healthy, he's going to be great for the New York Giants. Is it solidified, Charles Way, that Aaron Rodgers is coming to the Jets, or is just hearsay?
I think it's just hearsay. Right now, what I heard, see, it's all hearsay. Like, Schefter is saying that there's a stalemate between the Packers and the Jets because the Jets don't want to give up two first-round picks, which, I mean, you got to get rid of the dude anyway, right? You already said that the Love kid is going to be the next quarterback of the team. So right now, you already showed all your cards. So if I'm the Jets, I'm not giving up two first-round picks when the dude, you already promised the quarterback position, and you already said you don't want Aaron Rodgers back, and he said he don't want to go back, right? So it's like, you can take this first-round pick that I'm going to give you, or take none and not have a quarterback. And so I think they're stuck. And then the second thing is, I just read something just a few minutes ago that he wants to bring Odell Beckham back to New York City. I'm like, he got a lot of asks. He got a lot of asks. So I just think it's a crazy situation right now.
Yeah, I did hear some of that. And Cobb, he wanted to bring back to his wide receiver. But I didn't think Cobb was good enough to come to the Jets. And the Jets got some young receivers. This might take a couple of days to kind of iron itself out. But I think that Aaron put himself in a kind of a situation where, you know, he doesn't have the advantage like he did before. So, and then again, why would you give up two first-round draft choices for a quarterback who may play 2 years, possible one? And Charles, he's got to be wealthy as heck for him to think about turning down $50 million. The highest paid player in the history of the NFL will make $50 million for the next couple of years and is thinking about maybe not taking it. So up until his 18 years in the previous time, he must be well off to do that, because even people who have money wouldn't turn down $50 million.
You're absolutely right. And like I said, it's astonishing how when you throw out $50 million and people don't jump, I think it's kind of crazy to like think when you're talking about numbers that high, you're not flinching, like maybe, not say maybe for $50 million. It's ridiculous. I mean, I guess because I don't have $50 million, after you get past $48 million, it all comes out to be the same. But I'm not in that category, so I don't know. But that just blows my mind. I guess like we've been saying, the quarterback position is probably the most valued position in the NFL at the time. I think the next most crucial if you look at it, is the DB position. Corners backs are getting paid a lot. If you're a lockdown cornerback, you're getting paid a lot of money. One of the guys that are out there, Darren Slay. They just released the Eagles just released Slay. Yep. I mean, if the Giants need a cornerback, right? They need another cornerback. Why not? Unless there's more to it, why not try to sign Darren Slay? Because I don't think he had a terrible year last year. I think he was one of the better cornerbacks in the NFL last year. Why not try to pick up Darren Slay and solidify that cornerback position?
And a very good defensive unit. They also re-signed James Bradbury, the former Giants cornerback who was in on that last play of the game. I think if the Giants had the situation, they would have kept him because I liked the way that he played the game. I think you need a shutdown corner if you're going to be good, and that takes the great receivers out of the game. If you have one good receiver, you can take him out of the game and play 9-on-10 or something like that. So I just think that, you know, we can look at the needs of the Giants and the Jets, and I just think that, you know, because we haven't got to the draft yet, do you think, Charles, that they should wait to the draft to get a wide receiver? Or because sometimes it takes a young wide receiver a little while to catch up with everybody, or do you go out and get a veteran guy who can come in immediately and sell tickets?
I don't know. I think you got to have the right veteran guy. I don't know if there's a right veteran guy out there that I would pick up that's not better than what we already have or what we already let go, i.e. Kenny Galladay. I would be hesitant to bring in someone of that style, of a Kenny Galladay style at this age. I think when you're a bigger, Terrell Owens, the age of the big, tall, the Terrell Owens type receiver, Sterling Sharp type receiver, I don't know how long they would last in this type of environment anymore, because the rules don't allow them to be as successful, because you can't touch either way. You can't push off. Like Terrell Owens was notorious for pushing off. Sterling Sharp was notorious for pushing off, right? And now it's more of a quick speed, like a Tyreek Hill, Debo Samuels type of guy, where I'm quick. You can't catch me. You can't touch me. And I can do whatever I want. But those tall, wide, slanky wide receivers that use their hands and are physical, it's a lot harder for them to function in the league today. And think about it. The only other guy that I would probably go after who had an outstanding year and may be able to get is T. Higgins, right? But if you listen to their general manager, Cincinnati's general manager, he's not going anywhere. But I want to listen to their owner, Brown, because he's the one that has the pocketbook, and he hasn't given up money ever. And so I'm curious to see what they do with Joe Burrow. I told you they better give that. Why don't you got a blue light special if you pay that man $50 million now, because in 2 years, the way the price for the quarterback is going up, he may have 75 by the time. And don't let him win a Super Bowl.
It's over. Well, see, the thing for me is that Patrick Mahomes, that he signed a 10-year, almost a half a billion-dollar contract. Now they say that's one of the best contracts because it's over a length of years, and they gave him a signing bonus, so it doesn't count as much against the salary cap. And that's what I think that the capologists have to realize by getting these quarterbacks signed early. That's why Lamar Jackson, if he goes back to Baltimore with a 2-year deal, he's going to have to re-sign in a couple more years. It's going to cost him more money. So I don't understand what these capologists are thinking sometimes, because even Danny Jones, because of the 4-year contract he signed, he saves the Giants a little bit of money on the salary cap. And I think he shouldn't be selfish. And maybe Aaron Rodgers is selfish because, you know, for him to get paid $50 million and not give him a break on the salary, I just think that's selfish as heck.
It is. And I think that's why they put like that poison pill almost in that deal, where they got to make a decision coming up here in a day or two what they're going to do, because he has another signing bonus coming up here in a day or two, that if he's on the team, they got to give him more money.
Yep.
And so they set it up so that they wouldn't be in this position, so they would have to make a decision on Aaron Rodgers. And like I said, it's been, you know, the NFL, hey, that's why it's the number one professional sport in the country today, is because they are always making news. They're always this is supposed to be the dead period. Not anything going on. Not this. You're not in season. You don't got any game going on. But you're always talking about the NFL. You're always talking about something. Cowboys just released Zeke Elliott. You're going to hear that on the news for at least 24 to 48 hours. And the sad part about that is he may not get picked up by anybody until closer to training camp.
Unless he takes a salary dump, because he's making close to $14.5-15 million, and I don't know if another team will give him that money, but somebody should give him something, because it's like Emmitt Smith when he left and went to the Cardinals. He wasn't the same player, but he still got a little bit of money to do that. I just think the Giants, they picked number 25 in the draft coming up next month. They have 11 picks, and of those 11 picks, if they can get people to be able to play special teams and to be able to fit in somewhere, I believe in this coaching staff. They can get everything together and get the right people in the right place, and then coach them up again and have the Giants ready. Because I just think the NFC East with the Cowboys and the Commanders and the Eagles, I think they may take a step back because of the players they're losing, because they're so good.
And one of the things I would think about if I'm any Giants fan, or if I was in the personnel department for the Giants, given how they made a great acquisition of Darren Waller and kind of solidified because of the nature of his position as a tight end, but of what he brings to the table, they may have solidified, and hopefully Wandale Robinson can come back healthy. I know he's coming off an ACL, and it takes a year, at least a good year and a half, to come back from that injury. And they just re-signed Sterling Shepard, and you do have a lot of the other guy, Hudgens coming back. So they do have a good core coming back that is surrounding Darren Waller.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
I may, and this may be wild thinking out of the box, why don't you kind of stack up some number one picks? So you can, especially if there's nothing there at 25 that's going to blow your socks off. Hey, you want my pick? Give me a number one for next year and get a couple of twos. So you want to kind of keep, like what New England used to do. They Yep. used to, hey, you want my 29th pick? All right, give me your first round pick next year. I'll get, and start stacking picks, especially if the guy that you want isn't there. Then, hey, I'm gonna move back in the draft, accumulate some picks, so next year I have a better pick, better talent, and a better chance of having success at that draft pick than waiting and just picking whatever is the best available player at the pick when they may not be able to give you what you need.
Well, that's how you build a team. And I think Coach Tabo, I just think that he knows what he's doing, and he is going to go out there and get the people in the right place. And even, like I said, if he shows any improvement this year, that means the Giants get back to the playoffs, and he's up for Coach of the Year. Your thoughts on him coming in second place in Coach of the Year?
Well, they've done a lot, but given that they didn't win in the playoffs, I think the bar kind of is set where you got to consistently win. They had a mediocre record too coming into the playoffs, and Dabo did a great job, but yet and still they had that lull towards the end of the season that kind of kept them from having the type of success that we were hoping that they were having when they started off like gangbusters in the beginning of the season. So I'm happy coming in second. It gives him something to look forward to next year. So I'm excited about where we are, where the Giants are, what the prognosis is for the upcoming season. I think we have a long way to go. I'm curious to see what's going to go on in Miami. All the things that they're doing down there, they're putting all their money behind Tua, and they're hoping Tua can come out with a seven, you know, healthy through 17 games, because if they can't, they're going to have more issues.
Well, see, my problem is that it's like almost like Bill Parcells used to say, you know, it is what it is. You are what your record is. And I watch Tua, and the more I watch him, the more fragile I see him. The more that I feel for him, I feel like, oh, he's going to get hit and he's going to be out. You know, because even at Alabama, he barely made it through a season. And he's coming to the NFL and just gets pushed backward and suffered his second concussion. I don't know if he gets another concussion, whether he should continue his career. Because you're talking, you know, he's not getting killed like the quarterbacks used to be, but he's still, you know, he's very fragile. I think it's going to be tough for them to keep him healthy all season. I think they got to develop a running game in Miami, but, you know, they got one of the great wide receivers out there from Kansas City. He's just one of the most fun guys to watch, because you're talking about a 4.28 40-yard dash. That means he is up on you like Speedy Gonzalez. And you, what can you do from a defensive standpoint but yell?
That's right. No, I mean, like I said, you know, that's why I think they have to bring in a good backup quarterback in Miami.
A veteran?
You can't. Yeah, because you can't count on Tua. You can't count on Tua right now to be healthy for an entire year, given his concussion history, and given how, if he gets another concussion, he may not ever play again.
Yep.
And so that's why I was surprised that they weren't as active as they should have been and trying to acquire these top free agents, because, you know, they were one of the first teams when Lamar got that transition tag that, hey, we're not going to be in that market because we're trusting in Tua. So the doctors must have given him a clear bill of health. But I can't see him, if he gets another concussion next year, no matter how small it is, I don't see him playing the rest of the year if he gets another concussion. And then think about what's going on at the Raiders facility. They just signed Jimmy G and Tony Brissett. So it's like, come on, New England, come on and hang out. You know what I'm doing. We can do it. New England South. So it's just one of those things. I'm curious to see what they're saying. But you know what? You're listening to The Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me The Way. We have been talking through three quarters about New York Giants football free agency and the Jets free agency and what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, as well as the new breaking story while we were just filming the podcast that Zeke Elliott has been cut and released from the Cowboys, and how the running back position is not getting any respect at all. But we're going to shift gears coming up in our fourth quarter. We're going to talk NBA basketball, and we're going to take a look at the Western and Eastern Conference playoffs picture, as well as talk about the most discussed NBA topic known today, and that's the NBA MVP conversation and who should be at the top of that conversation. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. And we're back with the Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Show Me The Way, with my co-host, the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We are here going through three quarters of football. Now we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk about NBA basketball. That's right. We're going to kind of give you our opinion of who is truly the best team in the Eastern and Western Conference. And as you see, the top three are really close. Milwaukee's, the Boston Celtics, and the Sixers, all top three within three games of one another. And then you have our lowly, or but not lowly, depending on which week you're looking at them, our lowly, not lowly Knicks. They've had another spurt here where they've won a few games in a row. When you look at the top three teams, I would be scared
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
If I'm in a two, if I'm in like the three position, because you gotta play the Knicks, and I think either the Boston Celtics, the Milwaukee Bucks, or the Sixers could beat them, but I don't know if you get out of that series healthy, because they will beat you up.
Well, I have to give the coach of the Knicks a lot of credit because
Thibodeau,
because I didn't like him in the beginning because he didn't play a lot of the young players. But now they're playing at a level which they haven't played it in a number of years, and I got to give him a lot of credit. Julius Randle is playing. They're bringing some young players off the bench. They're in every game. They're playing hard. Last night they beat the Portland Trail Blazers, and Dame they held them to 38, but they still won the game. And I just think that if you're a good team, you're going to do all right in the playoffs, and the Knicks need to win at least one round of the playoffs. They can stay in the fourth or the third position, and whoever they get, they should be able to have success. But they got to be able to, you know, get better every year and then add pieces here or there. But they're an exciting team. It's a good brand of basketball. I know it's going to be tough in the East because Milwaukee with the Frenchman, he hit 46 the other night. Giannis hit 46 the other night. And he, in my opinion, we're going to talk about him if he's one of the top MVPs in a few minutes. But like I said, I'm happy the Knicks are playing better because it makes our job better. Anytime the New York teams are having success, it makes our job more fun.
Absolutely. But I think the only team that they could beat or have a chance to beat is the Cavaliers, because right now I don't think they match up well with the Bucks,
nope,
Celtics, or the Sixers. But they need to – how about the Nets? The Brooklyn Nets, number five. With the shell, you know, Mikal Bridges is balling. He's putting up 30, 38 points a game. Who would have thunk it? I mean, but I think that's like a Jeremy Grant situation type of play, where Jeremy Grant, when he was in Detroit, he was like all-star. But because they had nobody, he had to be an all-star. But he's really a star. But because there is no all-star, he takes 100 shots and he gets them. I think Mikal Bridges is one of those players where he may be Scottie Pippen-esque, but just a step below Scottie Pippen. Like when Michael left the Bulls, Scottie kind of took over and became a star, but couldn't really lead them.
Yep.
Right? He was a sidekick. Right? You're not the superhero. You're the sidekick. Right? And I think that's Mikal Bridges, but he's balling right now for the Brooklyn Nets.
Well, I like their coach, and I think that, you know, he didn't get all bent out of shape when Kevin Durant and Kyrie left. He just tried to build them a team, and these guys are playing hard. They're giving effort, and I see with a move to here or there, they could be right back in it next year. But the tough thing is the Knicks have gotten better. Milwaukee's gotten better. Even your Philadelphia Sixers, Joe –
Joel Embiid.
And, you know, he's up and down because, you know, he's the biggest guy on the court and he complains a lot sometimes. So I get
he's
mad.
He's up and
at
down. The man is having MVP years.
He is.
He scored 30. He's averaging 34 points over the last 8 games.
Yes.
And leading the league in scoring with 33.4 points per game.
But he's got to bring the Sixers to a higher level of performance, because this is the third year in a row they talked about him possibly being an MVP, and the Sixers get knocked out in the first or second round. They've got James Harden. He had a clutch player. He don't know how to spell clutch. So I'm scared that James Harden, if they don't get him out of the way, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt Embiid. You got to admit that James Harden hadn't done nothing in the playoffs.
But you look at look at the Bucks schedule. The Bucks have only lost 2 games in the last 22 games.
Yep.
One they didn't have Giannis, and that was against Golden State, and the second game was against the team down south, a 95 and with Joel Embiid. And so you got Milwaukee was playing strong. The team that's surprising me, and we talked about this last week, is the Boston Celtics, yep. Right? And so they're going into that lull period where they're supposed, their strength of schedule for the last few games is probably one of the weakest schedules in the NBA. And they've lost like three of the last five games.
Yep.
And so when you look at how you rank those three, yeah, you got to keep Milwaukee at the top because Philly hasn't proven anything. Philly hasn't been able to get out of the second round. Yep. But I think, mark my words, that because their strength of schedule for the last 22 games is the hardest, the toughest in the NBA, I think it's going to finally change the way they play, like the way Harden plays, the way Joel Embiid takes, because he's been Joel. If you've been watching him last three or four games, that he's man been, has been a force. When he played
a beast,
when he played Milwaukee the last few games, he has been like, I'm serious, I'm gonna take control. You know how Shaq and Charles always gets on Embiid for not going down low and taking and bullying people. He's starting to bully people now.
Yep.
Like, hey, you don't even belong on the court with me. Boom, get off. And I'm like, that's a different cat. And so maybe he smells that he's so close to the MVP, because if you look at Denver, you put up the Western Conference, you'll see Denver, they've lost like the past, they lost four games. They lost to the Brooklyn Nets.
Yep.
So how can that man be the MVP if he can't lead his team to victories? Like my man Joel Embiid is doing right now.
And you are correct, because I look at availability, and I hate when I see players not there. Like a Lamar Jackson is not there the last few games of the season. Baltimore didn't make the playoffs. And then Joel Embiid has been there all season. I see the record he has for 30-point games and double-figure rebounds. He's playing hard. He's playing with a certain level of confidence. I just don't know about the other members of the team besides John. I mean, their point guard from Houston, Harden. He just, I'm so dissatisfied with him because, like I said, my sisters have season tickets to the Rockets, and they tell me how terrible he is in the clutch, how he had 13 turnovers in one fourth quarter down the stretch. And if you play with Embiid, if you think about it, his only thing should be getting the ball to Embiid if he doesn't shoot the ball himself. And I think that he's got to learn that when they get to the playoffs. And they got a good coach in Doc Rivers, but, you know, Rivers has been a little bit down the last couple of years because the team hasn't performed in the clutch. So I'm anxious to see what Embiid does. What does he do down the clutch situation? How do they take it to a higher level of performance? And how the Sixer fans treat him if they get down by more than 10 points?
Yeah, I'm hoping that, I forget the game that he took over, but one of these past four or five games, I mean, he just took over. Harden was like Harden-esque, scoring 38 points. I mean, was taking shots. It was the Milwaukee game where they came back. They were losing. It was a Sunday. It was a Saturday game, I believe. They were losing going into the fourth quarter. It weren't leading the entire game. Came back and won the game. Then you had the Portland game where Portland, Dame went off. He had 30-something points, and they beat Joel Embiid. Last second shot put the game winner on his back, shot the game winner and won. I just think that Harden is learning how to play with Embiid. I think if Harden can just shoot the ball when he's supposed to shoot it and not get scared, I think that they're going to be a dangerous team. Like I said, Milwaukee is still the way they've been playing. Milwaukee is still a team that I'm scared of. If I'm Philly, I'm scared to play the Celtics because they have the Sixers number. They seem to always beat the Sixers. I think I would feel more comfortable if I was the Sixers because I match up better with Milwaukee than I match up with the Celtics. So I would rather play Milwaukee first and hopefully let somebody beat the Celtics. But the way the Celtics are playing, I would be scared because you got Miami and Atlanta and Toronto. Toronto is always a tough out.
Yep.
Atlanta, I'm not, you know, they don't really scare me, but you got Trey. Trey is over there, and so you got to be scared. I'm not concerned about Chicago. The two teams, Miami and Toronto, are two people I'm really scared of. Okay. And if I can, if we can, you know, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, finish your statement. If we can what?
Go ahead. Go ahead. You good?
Okay. In the last
two teams, if I was any other, go ahead.
Well, in the last couple of minutes, who are you going to vote for Embiid for MVP of the East, right?
All day after the, Jokic, over Jokic, yeah, all day.
Well, Jokic, they've lost a few in a row, and they're in first place in the West, which shocks me. The Lakers are playing better. I was shocked by how bad Portland looked last night. I think if Durant does come back, the Phoenix Suns will be good, but they're still good now with Booker and
but they don't have a bench. So after your first five, you're done.
Yeah, but if Durant can come in, man, he's a saver.
And I know, but you can see they've been without him on the floor. It's a different team.
Yeah, it is a different team. But it's going to be interesting because, you know, all these players, that's what they sit back and try to get notice from is when they get to the playoffs. And, you know, if you don't make the playoffs, it's almost a shame in the NBA because they have such a great format with the play-in game and all that kind of stuff. So I'm anxious to see who gets the MVP. But right now I would go with Joel Embiid, even though he's a little, you know, nutty. I still, you know, he falls down more than anybody I've ever seen. He complains more than anybody, but he's playing and he's balling.
That's right.
So I got to give him credit for that.
I'm loving it. And let's go. Let's see what happens. Let's go. I'm ready to go.
Oh my goodness. So next week we'll talk a little bit more about the West, a little bit more, because this week we concentrated on the East. And the Giants, is anybody you're looking at in the Giants to come in and be a savior at any position, or are you just gonna let them do their work?
I think we should let them do their work. I'm curious. Let's start hopefully next week we can start looking at the draft board and seeing which positions, what players are there that we should be looking at if they are going to keep the number 25 pick, who they're going to pick up.
And then they got 11 picks. So I think that they've done a good job. And the third round pick that they had to give up for Darren Walker, I thought was worth it. So with the Giants picking up tight end, a great tight end, I think he's going to be a big difference in the game as long as the quarterback doesn't throw the ball toward the safety.
That's right. Absolutely right. I'm looking forward to next week. I can't wait. I got to put my draft board together.
Okay, and the Giants, we'll see, because last year they made a big, big dent in the draft with their top draft picks. They got their Thibodeau, the defensive end, and then they got the guy from Alabama, who I think is going to have a great year this coming year, the offensive tackle. He had a kind of a so-so year, which most rookies do from an offensive lineman standpoint. So I hope that the Giants have something to build on, and we have a lot to talk about. But but we're in the New York area, so there's so many things going on in this area. The Knicks are going well, so we're going to keep up with them as they come down the stretch. And then the Nets, regardless of them losing all the people they did, they're a formidable team, and they look like they're having fun playing.
They're very, very dangerous.
You listen to Billy Taylor and Charles Way. We call this the Expressway. And Charles is the one who came up with the name the Expressway because he's Charles Show Me the Way, and I'm the BT Express. We're two ex-running backs for the New York Giants. And I got to thank Ben back at the studio, always taking care of us, making us sound good. And so for everybody for Expressway, I'm for Charles Way. I'm Billy Taylor. Have a nice evening. Thanks for joining us.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.